One day, 12 years ago or so, I was standing at a whiteboard with a friend of mine, and we were trying to figure out a word to describe the integration of humans and technology to get a process done. I remember this moment like it was yesterday. It's just one of those times, right, in your life where you remember that moment. I remember standing there with Vaughn, and I remember we landed on the word humology. And we also had a few other words that we come up with, but they weren't quite as interesting. We threw them out. We picked humology and then realized that we needed a scale to measure the level of human and technology involved in a process or a system. In other words, by having a name for the concept of integrating humans and technology, we immediately understood we were going to have a scale because it was not going to be 100% or 100% at the two ends of the spectrum. There was going to be a percentage of how much human or how much technology was involved. So not only did we develop the word, we sat down and developed the scale. Now, we kept going to this day. We have continued to develop out this concept of humology, which becomes more important every day. It has become absolutely critical to understand in a world of artificial intelligence. And without that word, without having come up with that word that day, 12 or so years ago, at that whiteboard, we wouldn't have had the picture in our minds to develop the concept. Words matter. Right? Words are symbols of thoughts and concept. They are symbols. A tree is just a word for that thing that is out there that I'm looking at right now that has a brown trunk and green leaves that is blossoming in the spring. A tree is just a word that we put on there. And that's only the English word. Many other languages have a different word that they associate, a different symbol that they associate with what is a tree. It's the same thing with concepts and ideas. We put words on them, and then we impugn some meaning to that word. And we are often sloppy with these symbols, these words that we use to describe concepts. The technology world, in my opinion, is the worst. Somebody somewhere calls remote computing cloud, and it sticks. And then from that point forward, we have cloud computing. Although for a long time, most people can't define it. To this day, there are many people that can't necessarily define what is cloud computing. And how is that different from what we did with mainframes back in the day when people were able to rent time on a mainframe? My point is, words matter. They are symbols of thoughts and concepts. In this next podcast series, I will address some new and improved definitions for words, right? For terms and ideas that need some help. There, I'm going to unpack AI, the singularity, transhumanism as examples, maybe a couple that I'm not going to mention to you just now. You'll have to wait and see. Because although we have these words, and these words are symbols for concepts, most people don't really understand those underlying details of those concepts in any kind of concise way. Now, being somebody who speaks to audiences on a constant basis, I have an appreciation for the clarity of words. And I don't like using terms that people really don't understand or that have a flawed understanding. Clarity of meaning matters, and we too often skip over that in our conversations. We just use terms, we use words, again, especially bad in the computer industry, the technology industry, but we use words that we assume everybody else around us probably understands. And in many cases, they have such a high level understanding or no understanding as to make the conversation really almost just not valuable. This is the reason why I wanted to do a series on just terms. We'll see how far this goes. I have some I completely want to unpack for you, but I may figure out some others along the way. And I hope this is more than just a long-form vocabulary explanation. What I hope you're going to find is that each of these podcasts in this series is unpacking an idea or a concept that is attached to a word, and that the idea or concept is something that once you fully understand it, you can talk to others about, you will have a better understanding, you'll have a better world view because we actually took the time to do a podcast on a word. So Exhibit A is going to be the term artificial intelligence. I think we've got to start there because of the way it has been blossoming. I want to tell you the story about where this came from. So the term artificial intelligence, and I'm going to read this to you from me searching Claude, but I've researched the story before, and I know that Claude is fairly correct and isn't hallucinating this. So the term artificial intelligence was coined in 1956 at Dartmouth College, which is considered the birthplace of the field of AI. Dartmouth Conference, officially called the Dartmouth Summer Research Project on Artificial Intelligence, was a seminal event held at Dartmouth in Hanover, New Hampshire in 1956. It was organized by computer scientists John McCarthy, Marvin Minsky, Nathaniel Rochester, and Claude Shannon. At this conference, the term artificial intelligence was proposed and used for the first time to describe field of study aimed at getting computers to perform tasks that would be considered intelligent if done by humans. All right, let's stop with the I'm just being the verbal mouthpiece for Claude on where AI is going to go. One of the things I'd like you to know is when this was named, the word artificial might have seemed worthy because at this time, hardly anything a machine could do could rival human intelligence. So you wouldn't have been looking at mainframes in 1956 and had a lot of ideas that the mainframe was smarter than people, more that it could just memorize maybe more than a lot of people. So there was probably an assumption of if and when computers did come close to human intelligence, that it would be some kind of fake, and I put that in quotes, fake intelligence, substandard most likely to human beings. And so the word artificial might have seemed appropriate as a symbol. Our world is very different than that world 70 years ago when that term was coined. And I want to make a point about that. Now, let's step back for a second. I told you, that I'm somebody who speaks to audiences and that words mean a lot to me. It takes some courage to go a different direction than society when it comes to words. Society will change the words or maybe stop using them if there's an issue, like the word shows bias or, is deemed to be something that is hateful. There are terms that we've called baseball teams that we changed because we felt like they were just a dishonoring kind of word, just to give you an example. There are words that we used when we talked to talked about different ethnicities that we have all decided that were negative or hateful words, and so we stopped using them. So there are words that have good reason to disappear. There are some words at times that get replaced by better words, but I will tell you, it takes courage to be one of the first ones to drive the change when it comes to these symbols. In many cases, it's more than just a word change that is driven by societal acceptance. Like to create a whole new word or phrase to describe something means stepping away from the herd that has been using that term for, decades at least. And when we say the herd, we're talking about millions and millions, billions potentially of people that use that word as the symbol. And so when you say we're going to create a new word or a new term, as an example, when I told you about humology that we created from scratch, it sometimes takes some courage. I will tell you, over my career, over the last 20 years, I have oftentimes renamed things, or I will call things a slightly different term than what the public is generally calling something. And I have had people make fun of me for that. I've had clients make fun of me for it. I've had clients say things like, "You made that up, didn't you?" Yes, we did, because there is nobody else using a term like this, or there was no description, so we had to make one up. Or, yes, we are using a different term because we think that it makes more sense. So let me give you an example. I told you artificial, to me, is a negative term that was probably put in front of intelligence, the word intelligence, when we were talking about what a machine would have 70 years ago. I think it's okay to say, hey, maybe with the power that we are being given by the synthetic intelligence, it would be okay to call it by a different name. Now, synthetic is a term, that basically means not human, right? Or not natural. And so I think synthetic intelligence is a much better descriptor because then it allows us to talk about human intelligence as something that is natural and organic, and synthetic intelligence as something that is created by machine, right? Or created synthetically. Now, I think this also helps us when we go to name other things that have some form of intelligence is that we can now say, okay, well, there's the synthetic intelligence. It comes from that versus it comes from organic intelligence. And it allows us, by the way, to then do things like, say, hybrid intelligence and be clear that hybrid intelligence is the combination of synthetic intelligence and human intelligence. So you can see what happens, right? When you start to play with words and try to create something that has a better feel. Now, some of you might be saying right now, look, we're way too far down the road. Like we've been 70 years, we've been calling that thing artificial intelligence, right? For hundreds and hundreds of years, we've been calling that thing with a brown trunk and green leaves a tree. Why would we just call it something different now, right? Well, the reason is because the word tree is a fine descriptor, right? It doesn't pull the mind in a direction that it probably shouldn't be pulled in when we say a tree. That is not true when we say artificial intelligence. That pulls the mind towards a bias around the word artificial. And it is a bias. And so I'd like to stop that bias and just move to the term synthetic intelligence. Now, will the world do that? I doubt it. Will I do that? Yes. You'll hear me try to downplay the letters AI as much as I can and replace those with just the term synthetic intelligence. And I get that there are people that will argue that this isn't really important, but I would tell you, I am not in that camp. I think words matter. And I think the more correct the word is at stating exactly what something is and not having a bias or dragging our mind in the wrong direction, the better. Now, I could go further. I could say, hey, just for fun, let's shorten synthetic intelligence and just call it Sintelligence. You like the ring of that? Sintelligence. I would spell it Sintelligence. Sintelligence, right? Now we've gotten rid of two words and just made it one word, Sintelligence. I don't know what we're going to say about human intelligence, right? Humtelligence, right? It seems to get even more awkward. I think human intelligence is fine, but I'm just trying to show you how interesting it can feel to make up words. And even though they might make more sense, and we could look at them and say, yeah, that's what the vernacular ought to be, Sintelligence, or synthetic intelligence. I promise you, if you start using the term, people will look at you sideways. Now, people who are deeply involved in training AI models and systems have accomplished incredible steps forward. And I think it's dishonoring to those people to say what they've created is something that is artificial. I mean, something is either intelligent or it's not. And so if it's synthetic intelligence, if it's machine intelligence, then I think that is, that's an impressive thing that somebody has done. I don't find intelligence itself to be, well, you know, it's one kind or another. In other words, if I go back to my example of a tree, there is a tree that is made up of atoms and it is a physical thing. There is a tree that is on a piece of paper on a television that would be a synthetic version of a tree. I can't chop it down. I can't use it for wood. We do not call that an artificial tree. Although at Christmas time, when we set up a plastic Christmas tree, we call that an artificial tree. And I think that is fine. I just don't think the tree on television is an artificial tree. I think that would be more a synthetic representation of a tree. All right. By exposing an AI, a learning system to billions of pieces of data, applying weights so that it can decide what is true and correct, then adding guardrails so that it has some form of ethics and morals, and then to top that off, having reinforcement learning where the model is being taught by humans of what might be right or what might be better or improved than what the model actually thinks, right? This is how a large language model is built. And the thing that's interesting to me is that's exactly the way that humans learn. And I tell this to audiences all the time, that if you look at how an AI model is trained, again, hoovering up huge amounts of information, having weights that help define truth and correctness, having guardrails that are akin to morals and ethics, and then having reinforcement learning from other people, just like humans do, the form of intelligence that model learns is even learned exactly in the same way that humans do. The only thing that would be different would be experience. experiences, where humans experience things to create knowledge, and an AI model doesn't always experience something. So we live in a time where intelligence is growing quite knowledgeable, and it's a little bit hard to argue that the latest models today aren't quote-unquote smarter in some ways than most people. In other words, if we're just looking at facts and knowledge just to be able to answer questions, the latest models should really be thought of as smarter in some ways than people. Again, just, you know, why I don't think we need to talk about the knowledge being artificial. All right, so let's go back to the hybrid intelligence. When I mentioned that you have synthetic intelligence, you have human intelligence, and when you combine those to do things, which a lot of us are doing today, that should be thought of as hybrid intelligence, the integration of humans and technology to be able to apply their intelligence. So we've got to settle on some kind of term for that, and we could call it integrated intelligence. There's lots of things we could call it. I'm fine right now calling it hybrid intelligence, and I have seen out in the world that is where some people are going. I don't feel the need on that one to change the word hybrid. I think hybrid is fine. But again, I'm just wanting you to be thoughtful about words and how we put words on things and how those words have meaning to us when we talk about concepts. If you are a leader today and you're listening to this concept that we're talking about of having synthetic intelligence in our various AI engines and then having human intelligence creating hybrid intelligence is a wonderful goal for you to see. We shouldn't waste time debating the strengths or weaknesses of human intelligence or synthetic intelligence. We should just move to a higher value being the combination of both of those. The power of what synthetic intelligence can bring mixed with the unique power of what human thought brings. Now, even inside of human intelligence, there's many different flavors. People are already starting to use terms for synthetic intelligence like augmented intelligence, assisted intelligence, alien intelligence, automated intelligence. Right? So they're already starting to sub-describe synthetic intelligence with many other words put in front of it to try to denote specific types. Automated intelligence would be synthetic intelligence that is doing an automated task, right? Alien intelligence would be a self-learning intelligence that now has surpassed humans' understanding of that intelligence. So it's created an alien type of intelligence that we don't even understand. And so we have lots of words, you know, now coming that would subdescribe synthetic. It is the same with human intelligence. This is a concept that I really like. So I want to kind of follow this line of thinking. I told you there's many different words to subdescribe synthetic intelligence. Let's look at a lot of words that subdescribe human intelligence. Now, this is not work that I've come up with. Right? There are many other people over the last handful of decades that have said, hey, we need to start breaking down human intelligence into subcategories. One model says that there is the naturalist human intelligence, the understanding of nature and organic processes. There's spatial intelligence, being able to see and map the world. There's musical intelligence. I don't need to explain that one to you. There's the logical reasoning intelligence, skilled at deductive reasoning and detecting patterns and logical thinking. Right? There's interpersonal intelligence, how we communicate and read people, how we can connect with people. There's bodily kinesthetic intelligence, using one's body in a highly differentiated or skilled way. Maybe athletics would be a way to think about that. There's linguistic intelligence, the master of spoken and written languages. And then there's interpersonal intelligence, the understanding of yourself, how you feel, what you want, really being able to have the intelligence to be able to see inside and know thyself at an extremely high level. So all of these are different forms of human intelligence. And if you step back, you could probably say, hey, there's three of these I'm really good at, and then two or three of them I'm not good at all. And my point here is just to understand that even when we say synthetic intelligence, there are subgroupings. Even when we say human intelligence, there are subgroups. It creates an interesting recipe for intelligence when we think about hybrid intelligence, because it really depends on, well, what kind of intelligence recipe does the human have? What type of intelligence recipe does the synthetic intelligence have? And when you start co-working together, what might happen and what might be the different types of strengths or weaknesses that people might have. And one of the things that I love about this concept is if we think forward in time and we say, oh, well, AI is going to make everybody look at things the same way. They're all going to be like robots because they're all using an AI. Not true. If you understood everything that I just said and you think about the fact that the human intelligence comes in many different flavors and everyone has a different recipe. And then if you think about all the large models that we have, the AI models were coming, them also being completely different recipes as far as their strengths and weaknesses, it means that when humans co-work with AI, we're not going to have a homogenization of intelligence where now everybody, all hybrid intelligence looks the same. It may be quite opposite. All right. So if I just for fun, if I keep applying that line of thinking to synthetic intelligence, and instead of me just reading off the ones I did before, like automated or, you know, assisted or autonomous, I'd like to say, hey, what if, just like I said, for humans, there's the naturalist intelligence, spatial intelligence, musical, body kinesthetic, right? What if there are analogies also with synthetic? So what if we actually get factual intelligence? So a powerful large language model that doesn't hallucinate at all, not at all. And so the intelligence of the model is all around facts and knowledge, and it never gets them wrong. What about creative intelligence, right? Maybe this is where generative AI goes, is having a powerful ability to create new ideas or graphics or tools that haven't existed before, where you can just ask a prompt, I need a metaphor for this. I need you to create the most beautiful that. And it does it. It interprets what most beautiful means to you, and it goes and creates something. So maybe we have factual intelligence, we have creative intelligence. How about research intelligence? A freakish ability for a synthetic intelligence to research all known facts and to make new observations or new predictions off of those facts. So research intelligence. What about predictive intelligence? A unique ability to assemble massive amounts of historical information, combine it with future trend analysis, and make very accurate predictions. So maybe synthetic intelligence will have a subgroup of predictive intelligence. What about prescriptive intelligence? An ability to make suggestions for improvements or problem solvings that would surpass what any human being could do. I'll stop there because I think you get the idea, right? Factual intelligence, creative research. What if that's where we go with AI, is that it has different forms of intelligence, just like human beings have different forms. And again, then it's an interesting recipe for what happens when a certain type of human with certain types of intelligence mix with a certain type of AI with its own recipe of intelligence. Now, I know I'm throwing a ton more words at you. Some of these might stick in the lexicon in the future, but if nothing else, we can start letting go of believing that there's only human intelligence and what we call AI today, and that there's many different forms of intelligence. There's many different words to try to describe these things. And hopefully you see how important it is to try to get the right names on something so that it's easy to communicate. Because if you found anything that I just did in the last 10 minutes to be confusing, then you would understand the problem with words. You'd be like, wow, he threw a ton of words at me and now my brain hurts. But if you're with me, if you understood everything I said in the last 10 minutes, then hopefully this was a good example of why words are important, and saying words that mean the exact symbols or the exact concepts works. Look, I'm excited about a future where we're going to be able to expand our definition of intelligence to have many different variations and do a better job of describing the unique aspects of some combination of intelligence and human forms of intellect. I'm even more excited to have more definitions of hybrid intelligence instead of just one word. So something that describes many different combinations of bringing human and synthetic intelligence together. Because I would love to have 10 different words that describe different subgroups or subcategories of hybrid intelligence. I'm not sure we can even fully appreciate or envision how much of this will change society and humanity. I'm just talking about intelligence in general. I've never seen in science fiction any depiction where I think this is really going to take us. Maybe that's because we really have a hard time imagining intelligence, the different forms of intelligence, hybrid intelligence, the different forms of that, and we just don't have good words to describe any of that. I suspect many people maybe don't even want to imagine this. On the other hand, I yearn for a day where we will have really good words, good symbols to describe many different variations and combinations of intelligence that will help us to be able to make the world a better place, because more people will seek those types of discrete intelligence combinations. There you go. There's the first in this series of unpacking the word AI and hopefully shifting it in some of your mind to Syntelligence or synthetic intelligence. There's more to come. The next one is going to be on the singularity. Have a good Humology Day, my friends.
Thank you for listening and giving these ideas a chance. Let this be a two-way conversation and connect with me on Twitter at sklesoski or on LinkedIn. I also write a blog that you can find at scottklesoski.com. An added bonus is a library of thought-leading graphics you can download from the site. One more thing, please take a moment and rate this podcast on whatever platform you use. Ideas are powerful change agents, and positive reviews will help spread the digital optimism.